He played really well. And Alex Samandal was a runner-up among the players for Rookie of the Week. He had a goal and an assist, a game winner on Friday night. I thought he played pretty darn well all weekend, but especially on Friday. And then Troy Logan, second week in a row, he wins Forward of the Week out of Northern Michigan, but he scored 5 goals in 2 wins against Michigan Tech, 4-2 at Tech and 3-0 at Northern Michigan on Saturday night. Diego was a backup there. He was one of the runners-up for the award, 3 goals on the weekend, 23 on the season now, tied with Arizona State's Johnny Walker. Arizona State's done now. They finished their regular season, and they don't have a league, so I still don't agree with them being right into the NCAA tournament. I don't understand how they stay up in the pairwise. They lost 2 games to Minnesota on the weekend. Almost every good team they played against this year, they've gotten beat, and yet they're about number 10 in the pairwise, and they're a lock to be in the NCAA tournament. Alec Rohauser was the defenseman of the week out of Bowling Green. He's a really good player. He had 3 assists Friday night in a 4-2 defeat at the hands of Alabama Huntsville. Bounced back with a goal and 2 assists in a 7-1 win as they clinched the third spot in the league on Saturday night. Colin Sackelman was a honorable mention there, along with Justin Beaudry, and I want to talk about him in a minute. He's a very good defenseman for Bemidji, and he'll be coming in here this weekend. And again, second week in a row, Ate Tolvanen, the goaltender from Northern, wins Goalie of the Week honors. Nick Kossoff was a strong runner-up there. Nick had 45 saves in that game on Friday night when the Lakers got the 5-1 victory. And Ate, he only had 58 saves on Friday night. They got outshot 60-27 and won the game at Tech 4-2 and came back to shut out Tech on Saturday 3-0. So pretty tough to vote against the guy when he does something like that. But the Lakers have been right there. We've had individuals win a lot of awards this year, and we've been very close other weeks and that sort of thing. It's individual honors. We're looking at team honors.
Team honors are the key for sure. But like you said, it's been good to see some of those things. I know I just saw a release earlier on and how much we've had that. I think 14 WCHA players of the week, 5 players in the month. So along with the Hobey Baker Award nominee. So it's been a very good year. We've been a high scoring team, and that seems right or wrong. That certainly seems to bring a lot of the accolades along. I think sometimes I struggle with defensive player of the week has to be a guy that put up many points. I look at like a guy like Colin Sockeman, who not only can score, I think he leads the conference in goals by among defensemen, but he's also, I think, second in block shots as well. I mean, I don't think you can get much more valuable than a defenseman who can do it at both ends of the ice. So sometimes it's rewarded by the offensive teams, but it's been a good year that year. Like Loggins is on fire, very, very deserved honor. He's been just unbelievable the last few weeks. Tolvanen has been so good for so long, but Northern's really a team that's caught fire and being led by those few seniors there that are experienced, and you need those guys this time of year. So it's interesting to see. I'd love to be able to watch that Tech Northern game and see if those shots were accurate. It doesn't seem, that's a lot of shots for and a lot of rubber for him to face. But he's very capable, and interesting always to see where that comes out. I know some of the voting, is being done this week in terms of all league honors. I'm not sure when the release dates are on that, but that stuff will start to, get in the league office and start to shape some of that discussion. And I hope our guys get some of that recognition. I think it's deserved. But like you said, it'll be the same thing when we get our banquet here later in April. That I always struggle. We talk about hockey being the ultimate team sport, and we want to share things and be a great team player. Then we recognize the individuals at events like that. So it's kind of an interesting mix when you ask hockey players on those personal awards, because I don't think many of them care a whole lot about that. They want that team success and those compete for championships.
Well, we've got Bemidji State coming in this weekend. Let's talk about the Beavers for a few minutes here. And this series this weekend is big. It's a playoff series. It's home ice. It's also expensive. It's going to cost this school a lot of money to play host to a tournament. The league has demands there. They also set ticket prices, and that's a bone of contention right now. It's $14 all across the board. The only group that gets any kind of a break would be Laker students, and that's because student government helps subsidize them so that they can get in a little bit cheaper. But $14, a lot of money for a kid to pay to see a Laker game, and it kind of puts a real onus on a family to bring a lot of children to a game. But we'll hope we come out. We get good fan support this weekend. It is a home playoff series. It's Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. if necessary. We want to win two straight.
Yeah, no question. Well, you went a lot there, but like you said, it is those pricings are set by league policy, and can be challenging. And obviously, we love the support in this town that we get, and it means the world to us to walk in that arena and see a strong crowd and a loud crowd. I definitely think we you noticed the students being gone last weekend. When you look over there and there's nobody in those couple of sections, and just obviously the youth bring a lot of enthusiasm, energy in that building, and some interesting costumes at times. But that'll be nice to have our students back. And as you mentioned, student government is working on some things to make sure our students are not only aware but get over to the games. But it's a big event, it's a big deal to host, and we really need our fans to come, and we can appreciate the challenge and a lot of competing dollars for that entertainment dollar. So we're excited to be here, and a great crowd would meet a ton of these players and this team, and be a big part if we can be successful. Our crowd will have a big say in that. So we're looking forward to it, and again, we love to see people out.
Yeah, it'll be a big deal this weekend. It's the first time in a long time we've played host to a playoff tournament series, and that's a big deal for us here in Sault Ste. Marie. We'll hope we get out on Friday and Saturday nights against Bemidji. Let's talk about the Beavers for a minute. They've got a lot of young guys who are very good players, but they've also got some really good veterans. Justin Beaudry, we mentioned him a few minutes ago. He's about as good as there is on defense, especially at moving the puck and making great first passes out of his own zone. They'll have Dylan Eikstead back in the lineup this weekend. He was missing when they played two games here back in late January. Tyler Kirkup's been a really good freshman for them. Ross Armour, Aaron Miller, these are all first-year players. And Zach Driscoll's a young goaltender. I think he's a sophomore, but here we go again. We say it every week. Everybody's got good goaltending, and Bemidji does too.
Yeah, now, there's a lot to hit there. But yeah, like you said, Driscoll's been really good on film, and he's a good goaltender. Obviously, we saw them. It's one of the few teams we only played twice this year. So, we don't have maybe as great as a feel as we might some other opponents there, but it was a good series. And, we watched a ton of film and preparing there and trying to, condense that as much as we can to have our team prepared. We don't like to overpower our team with a ton of time and over information. We ask them to retain a lot in a real short window to make our adjustments and look at some of the strengths and the weaknesses of the opponent we're playing. But Justin Beaudry is one of those keys. There's no question about it. He partners with Eikstead on the back end, and they log big time minutes for those guys. I think Beaudry finished number one. Either him or Ballew led the league in D scoring, and got 30 points as a defenseman. It's pretty remarkable. So he's a very skilled defenseman. He can shoot the puck a ton. He can make passes. And so he's a guy you really have to key on, and that top pairing will be, a real challenge for us this weekend. And then they got a trio of forwards in the 20-point range there with Coombs, Brady, Miller. You mentioned a couple of those guys. But their team, they're undersized with a lot of their top forwards, and they actually absolutely fly around. They've got great team speed with that skilled forward group, and they really put a lot of pressure on you because of the speed they play with and the style of play that they bring. So, it'll be a ton of pace, a ton of tempo to these games, and a really exciting playoff matchup.
Yeah, last time we played this team, they kind of set that on a Saturday night, if I remember right. They got behind us about three, four times for breakaways. They scored on a couple of them, and ever since then, every team we've played has been trying to throw people up ice, stretch out our D, and make long passes. They'll break out of their own zone by just throwing it out and hoping they can take off with it, and it's been working. So that's something we have to work on defensively.
Yeah, no question. I mean, that is a style of play that they use, and they're effective at it. They're well coached, and they've got that good team speed to take advantage of it. So, yeah, awareness is certainly one part of it, and making sure we're keeping guys in front of us. That Saturday game, I thought our puck management for a stretch there was pretty frustrating on the bench, and got after the guys pretty good there. One of the worst times this season in terms of, challenging them to manage pucks better and making better decisions. But we talked, I think, post game, Bill, that it was one of those games where on the rush we wanted to make a great play every time on the rush, and they've got numbers back there. Again, very structured, very well coached, and you're not going to get through them in the neutral zone very often with an odd man rush, because of the way they play, because of their structure. And we've got to make sure our puck management and our decisions with the puck are really really smart and good timing on that. Otherwise, we'll see a lot of that transition game that they showed on Saturday night.
All righty, we're going to take a break. Our first of the night on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All righty, we've got a number of questions tonight from our fans who are with us here. We'll get into those in a second, but we got to talk about one aspect of this Laker hockey game that has not been very good in the second half of the season. And I know I'm talking, preaching to the choir, talking to Damon about this because we've talked about it many times, but the power play has really become a problem. It was 0 for the weekend against Ferris State, 0 for 6 on Saturday night. The power play's 0 for its last 21 attempts going back to the second period of the Friday night game against Michigan Tech. And in the second half of the season, we are 8 for 71 on the power play since GLI, and that's 8.9%. And we both know that's not very good. And a lot of people are on social media these days with, hey, the Lakers, they got to figure this out. They've got to score on the power play. I think we create chances. The one power play unit is very good at moving the puck, but we're not scoring goals. And, man, that's like very, very difficult to win a series when you're not scoring on the power play at least once or twice a game.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously, like I said, the numbers are the numbers, and it's been challenging at times. You know, Ferris State, we had 4 or 5 on the weekend, and it was, you know, big, comfortable wins. You know, we've been really good the second half, and since then, we haven't lost many hockey games. So you're winning games without special teams. And so if we can get that going, you know, we'd have comfortable leads in a lot of games. So it's a challenging. I know going into Ferris State, we blew up the units, changed personnel around, and then came out, had a great weekend. So you're going to, you know, you saw some light, you saw some hope there. So we stayed with that for a couple of weeks, and now we're back to the point where we're tinkering again with personnel set up. Bemidji is a great penalty killing team, one of the best in the country. They're a high pressure team as well, so that's going to be a huge challenge as it is. You know, again, we, you know, 26% the first 2 months or something like that, one of the best in the country, and so we know the personnel is there. We know it's worked at times, and you know, like the people are saying, we don't have a lot of time to figure it out and get it back on track. So yeah, we need to win special teams battle, and that's huge all the time, and certainly as you get into playoff hockey. So, you know, we'll spend time on it as we always do and try to get the right pieces in place. You're also, again, you're going to look at it with the way Bemidji kills with a ton of pressure, a very, very good penalty killing team there. So it's going to be a real big battle, and we've got to be a heck of a lot better here. You know, the last few weeks don't matter. It's what we're doing this weekend and what we do moving forward. And so again, we want to give that the time it deserves and get that figured out a little bit. But we like the personnel we have. We have enough skilled players. I think one of the things at times we don't do well enough is shoot the puck, you know, where we want to make that perfect play and that backdoor tap in. And we've done that plenty, you know, and give them credit. We've had some good goaltending performances against us, made some saves as well. But, you know, I think we've generated some really quality looks, and seemed like early on everything is going on in the net that first half, and now it's a challenge. You know, Diego had the play this weekend, backdoor all alone, got a good shot off. It actually hit the goalie's skate blade. You know, it didn't even hit the front of his blade. Like, it was, you know, like that. That's how close the game is. You go back to Bemidji State, Sockerman had a good rush, power play breakout on the rush. He bombed one off the crossbar. I can't remember who Pete Viette was waved off. I think Diego got an interference call I've never seen up high. So, you know, there's been different scenarios where if it's a tenth of an inch that way, we're not quite where we're at. But we've got to be better, you know, starting Friday. So we'll spend the time on it that we feel like we can get away with this week. It's a hard thing to practice because obviously not a lot of guys are involved on it. And so the guys aren't in the power play. You know, you have them set up to run the mock penalty kill for the opposing team to give you that look. But it really slows practice down. So, you know, you try to find different ways to keep it exciting, to make it competitive, but at the same time, be a little bit brief because you can't slow down practice that much to put as much time as you'd like to. But again, we'll get our time in, and we've got the personnel that can get it figured out, and we're going to put it on them to get it done.
Well, one of the questions we've got from the fans who are with us tonight concerns the power play area. Opposing teams have been packing it in around their own net because we like to get in close before we shoot the puck. Have we been thinking at all about putting somebody out on the blue line who can really fire the puck, who could open things up or at least keep people from blocking so many shots and packing it in front of our net?
Well, I think we have those guys, and it's you know, working with them to identify when to shoot more and having a little bit more of a shoot shot first mentality. As I said, you know, I think I think our skill gets in our way at times because of the year we've had and the plays we can make. We want everything to be a highlight reel, just like our rush play, as we talked about against Bemidji. You know, we haven't met a lot of simple plays we like at times this year. You know, with the skill we have, we want to make that great pass and that great play. So part of it's just a mindset of shooting it, getting bodies there. And, you know, we have some guys who do shoot the puck and can shoot the puck well. But again, I think for the most part, when you look at our personnel on the power play, it involves the majority of our leading scorers and top scorers. We do have a guy or two that shoot the puck extremely well that maybe are down in points, and we've thought about it and used them at times or at different points throughout the year. And, you know, again, we'll explore all options here. Again, just not a lot of time to rep with it or do a whole lot. You know, but again, we like our personnel on it. We've got skilled guys, we've got talent, we've shown how good we can be. We have, you know, great first half, some streaks. It's been cold lately, and no better time than right now to get it going again.
Another question we've got here tonight, Damon, from the fans is, how are you preparing for Bemidji? They're a team that comes out of its own end very well. Have you thought about dropping back rather than pressuring their D so that you don't give up odd man rushes? I thought we kind of went to a 1-2-2 a lot this past weekend, which is a little more passive.
Yeah, well, it's not quite a 1-2-2. We run a little bit differently, but it can look like that at times. But no, I think you're always looking at everything. You know, part of what we did in preparation certainly was watching our series back with an eye on ourselves and saying, if we were Bemidji, what do you see? What are you gonna, you know, look to exploit or take advantage of, and things like that. So, you know, I think we pride ourselves on being a team that can skate and get after it and pressure, and we don't want to lose that mindset. You know, players like to play. You know, they want to get after it and play as well. So we've got to find the right balance there. To me, a lot of it from that Saturday night series was again on our puck management, and then guys, really making the proper reads to be above pucks at the right times. Mike Babcock was just talking about it after their last game, you know, how important it is to be above pucks, and you know, that's critical, and then sense a little bit of danger. You know, the power play group I've been working with, we've given up a ton of breakaways the last couple of weekends, and we don't sense danger right now. You know, well, you know, I've got Diego and Nellis, and we'll make a great play and we'll cover it. Well, you better sense danger, and you better be on the right side of pucks, because if not, it's in the back of your net, and you know, you're losing hockey games. So part of it is again just sensing danger, being on the right side of pucks, and making those proper decisions.
Another question here about line changes. Evidently, thinking that we made some bad line changes on the weekend against Ferris. We were late getting out sometimes, or I don't know for sure what they're referring to there. But was there a problem changing lines a few times?
I don't remember anything. I don't know. We had too many men or anything like that. I think we talked
I
about
think
there's
Ferris stayed at too many men several
Yeah.
times.
Well, you know, it's funny you brought it up. Somebody in the crowd brought it up here tonight too before the show, and they've called it tight all year long. And you know, it's one of those moments on the bench where you got a linesman right in front of you. You can help draw a call sometimes. And they had seven guys on the ice with possession, you know, and fairly tight to the bench. But it's called so much this year that, you know, you wanted to call there and it didn't happen. So no, I don't think there's anything. I think a normal game. You know, one of the things we've tried to do as of late is really looking at maybe our top lines, in particular with Diego and Gage Terrell, and trying to find some opportunities to get good matchups with the opposing team. So there's that time a late switch for maybe who was going to be up, and getting one of those lines back up against maybe a third D pairing, or just trying to get away from a matchup that the other team might be having. But no, I don't think it was an issue.
Another question from our crowd here tonight. Any first round matchups that strike you as intriguing at this point besides Lake Superior Bemidji?
Well, I think they're all going to be interesting. You
Yeah.
know, I don't think anybody wants to go into Minnesota State. You know, that's just, you know, it doesn't matter. Regular season playoffs, that's a really tough matchup, and we saw that a couple of years, I think 2 years in a row, a couple of years back. And so I think, you know, that's challenging, that's tough. But you know, I think it's going to be an interesting set. You know, Northern Michigan is playing extremely well, and you know, I don't know that teams can go in there. If Loggins continues to play that way and Tolvanen plays that way, they're going to be you know, primed for a run. You know, BG's been a little bit streaky as of late, but playoff hockey, they're built for playoff hockey the way they play. So again, a tough matchup there. But no, I think it's going to be an enjoyable, you know, to watch. We don't get to watch a whole lot. You know, we'll hopefully move on and prep for our next opponent there. But no, I think it's a great time of year. You know, we're watching last night and today. I spent a lot of time watching some of the BCHL. They're in their playoffs, and everything's streamed these days, so you can watch on hockey TV. And it's just a great time of year. the passion and the excitement is just off the charts, and we're looking forward to our own matchup that way.
Yeah, it should be a great series this weekend of Bemidji State coming in Friday, Saturday, Sunday afternoon if necessary there. And, I think the only series that I kind of am intrigued a little bit by Alaska playing at Northern. Now, Northern is on top of the game right now, and I think they'll win that series. But how helpful is it for the Nanooks that they play on big ice and then they're going to go play on big ice? That's got it. They're used to that. They're built for big ice too. They're very quick. If they get goaltending, they could be tough.
Yeah, and Martins is just coming off some recognition. I think it was the NCAA third star of the week or something like that. So Martinson, is coming off a good sweep of Anchorage and confident. But I think you're right. You'd much rather stay on the sheet you're accustomed to and that you're built for. So it does take a little bit of the home ice advantage away from Northern if they were hosting a small sheet team there a little bit. But again, I think they're playing so well right now. If they continue to play the way they're playing, that's going to be a tough matchup for Fairbanks to shut down that top line. And then when you do get to Tolvanen and beat Tolvanen. So, it is interesting, but again, I think Northern's just playing too well right now.
All righty, we're going to take our second break on the Laker Hockey Show. We'll be right back with more from the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All right, we're back at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. I love this time of year. I mean, the weather's been pretty tough lately even, but it's light outside
Yeah,
and we're
long
halfway
days,
through this
beautiful.
program, and this Saturday we go ahead with the clocks. It's time Saturday night to spring forward, and hey, next week at this time it'll be an hour later. We'll be done with the show. We'll be gone
Snow,
home.
it'll be melting too. We're getting some more, a little warm up coming
Yeah,
up, so
we
I can't
are.
wait. Springtime is keep hanging on, Sue, because it's not too far away
Yeah,
here.
it has been a very tough winter in Sault Ste. Marie. And Lakers ranked number 20 still this week in the USCHO top 20. We've been in the top 20 for 7 straight weeks now, I think. And we are 22 in the pairwise. And that means to me that we got to win the WCHA tournament to get into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, most likely at this point. Again, we were watching a little bit, didn't share that a lot with our team, but we knew where we were at and what we had to do there. And would have been probably a long shot regardless, but certainly, if you win games, you have a chance to move up and do that. So, well, again, that's probably the path at this point, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a path we have our eyes set on, and again, we think we have the group to get it done. It's certainly not going to be easy. Every night, every opponent presents a huge, huge challenge. But I think we've gone through enough and have grown enough and have the leadership to make a real serious run at it. And again, we've got to start that Friday night and be ready to go there. But that's certainly the goal, to get back into that tournament. And right now, like you said, it's by winning a league champ, a playoff championship, and there's no reason we can't get that done.
Well, we had senior night on Saturday. I thought it went really well. I've changed my mind on that. I think it's better to do it up quickly, do it before the game. I think the players like it better that way. And it went really well, I thought. We paid tribute to those five great players who've done such a wonderful job for us for the past 4 years, 2 years in Ruggiero's case. But we're going to miss those guys. And we're going to talk recruiting here in a few moments about who's coming in to replace whom. But that's five real good hockey players
Yeah.
going out the door.
Yeah, no question, with experience and just do so much for you in so many ways on and off the ice. But yeah, I think it's, for me, it doesn't, I don't know why the playoffs haven't set in yet, that we're at that time of year and senior night's gone past us. But it was, really nice to honor those guys and show them the love and appreciation they deserve for their commitment to our our hockey program and to our university. It's it's a big risk for anybody to make that decision. And these guys come from all over the country and North America and now the world on our roster. But from BC to New York, coast to coast there. And it's a class that I couldn't be more proud of. It was pretty emotional speaking to the team after the game there Saturday, because again, I just so appreciative for what they've done for this program, for their belief. And one of the things we talked about this week with the team, I believe on Monday, every kid we've recruited, and including those seniors, we've talked about the history and the tradition here at Lake State. You can come to Lake State and win a national championship. We've got five of those banners sitting up in the rafters there that we look at every single day, and we walk by different places in our rink. So that's part of, you know, who we are and what we recruit to. And, you know, those guys have helped get us back on that path with the GLI championship this year. And, you know, hopefully these next couple of weeks we get that league banner back up there. So really proud of them. It's going to be, as you mentioned, a really tough group to replace. In so many ways, you know, be done by committee and guys, you know, stepping up and growing their game just like these guys did. You know, and I think, you know, maybe their biggest legacy is what they did to the culture of our locker room and the commitment it takes to be a top program and a winning program. So love them. And I just, again, can't say enough good things about these guys. And I couldn't imagine, you know, a first class, you know, I couldn't imagine none of these guys not being in this class and coming through what we've gone through together. I think it's made us better people, a better program. And I love those guys.
Well, they've certainly done a good job for this program. We hope they can continue that. I know they don't want to finish playing hockey this weekend. They want to move on in the next series, whether it's to Minnesota State or Northern Michigan or wherever it may be. They're willing to take that challenge at this point. We did beat Minnesota State once on a Saturday night this season. That's been a problem at home. We're 1-6-1 on Saturday night at home. And what's going on with that?
Well, if, like I said, I think we talked about it. If we knew, we'd switch it up. You know, the Czech slash Survive, we wore blues, and that seemed to work. So I should call Tom Ceratori and tell him he's wearing his whites this weekend. He'd probably refuse. He probably knows the stats as well as we do. But, you know, one of those things, you know, what are we, 21-11? And so we've been, you know, one of the best, if not the best, on the road. And too bad we couldn't replicate some of that at home, because it'd be a really special and remarkable season. As good as it's been, it'd be just, you know, really, really unbelievable. So, you know, we've got to get that figured out for the playoffs. I heard some people talking about Sunday's game, but we'd like to get this thing wrapped up Saturday night. You know, you don't want to allow teams to hang around and give them chances here. So, again, it's not going to be easy. It's going to be an unbelievably competitive game and competitive series, but you know, you want to take advantage of it and have a good start and not extend this thing, especially with the travel in our league. And you know, you don't want to have to play six games over two weekends and then try to win a championship. So everybody has the same goal in mind, and fortunately we get to do it here at home.
Well, the last time we played Bemidji, and we only played them twice this season, we did not play them at the Sanford Center in Bemidji, Minnesota, and I'm thankful that we're not playing them there this weekend. But we lost 5-3 on the Saturday night to them. That's the night they kind of got behind our D quite a bit and had breakaways and scored goals. And they were ahead 5-1 in the game before we scored two goals late in the hockey game. But we beat them 5-2 Friday night and handled them pretty darn well, I thought, and played really well.
Yeah, Friday night was one of our more complete games. It was a night defensively I thought we were really on. I don't remember off the top of my head, but I think we gave up 8-9 grade A's, maybe 10 grade A's. It was a really, really outstanding defensive performance. And I think that same weekend, I can't remember who was at Bowling Green, but Bowling Green got beat pretty bad on Saturday night as well. And we might have had that, whoever that was, the next weekend or something like that. And watching it, they were mirrors of the game. You know, it was one of those nights that you have throughout the season where, you know, you're just out of sync, you're out of structure, and, you know, you get beat pretty soundly. And that's, you know, what happened Saturday night. We didn't play well enough. We didn't play within our structure. And Bemidji did a good job using their speed and, you know, taking advantage of some matchups to win a hockey game. So it's going to be, like I said, it's close. You know, we like a lot of parts of their team. Their top guys are very skilled. They're very quick and fast. They've got the decor that can be very good as well. You know, so a lot of interesting matchups within. And, you know, we've talked a lot about our personnel and how we're going to look to match up and, you know, how we want to run that. And we're still back and forth on some of the matchups we want to try to get to. And I think at the same time, too, you know, we've been a team at times where we haven't worried too much about matchups. And I'll never forget, I was a young, maybe freshman, sophomore, you know, playing my college hockey. And it might have been Mike York's senior year, you know, and he was a Hobey Baker candidate and, you know, probably the best player in the country. And we were playing Ferris, Bob Daniels. And Bob, I think we were actually at mine. But Bob was doing a very good job of getting his checking line out against York's line. And so Coach Mason barely played York. And York's sitting on the bench just looking at Ron and being like, you know, what's going on? So here's one of the best players in the country, and you're so worried about matchups, you're not getting your top players out there. So we don't want to be so worried about it that, you know, some of our guys aren't getting out there. We want to get in a rhythm and flow. I think we play better when guys are into it, and we're rolling pretty good there. But there are certainly some areas to be alert to and guys that we need to key on to shut down.
Yeah, last time that we beat them on the Friday night, it was 5-2. Max Humitz had two goals in that game, as I recall. Yuki Miura scored his first collegiate goal against Bemidji that night, and we had a shorthanded goal. I think Brendan McKay scored it, and that was just a highlight night. We played really well that night.
Yeah, again, just I think one of our more complete games, and that's the level we'll have to be. We were playing really good hockey through that 17 or so game segment. We were really good for a long, long time there, and then I think we got away from a little bit about what made us successful structurally. We wanted to get a little bit too cute, wanted to get a little bit too offensive, and that empty net goal, as you mentioned, I don't know if anybody remembers, but Driscoll came out to play it off the glass. I think Gage Terrell knocked it down, and Gage, Gage is Gage who is, and this is Gage to a T. He could have walked around Driscoll and put it in an empty net himself, but he found Brendan wide open back door, and he's just the ultimate team player and been an unbelievable captain for us this year. And that kind of, summarizes our team. It's a very unselfish group, a group that cares deeply about each other and doesn't care who gets the recognition. And we need to be that way this weekend.
Yeah, Gage Terrell is one of those guys you can try to let him off the hook on a mistake or something. You can say, well, that, and he won't, he there's none of that. He's taken, if he has to take the blame for something, he will.
Oh
And
boy.
he's been a man playing for us for 4 years now. He's done a great job. We're going to miss him down the line. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk some recruiting and we'll talk some injuries. We'll be right back to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. All right, we're back for our final segment on a Tuesday night, live from the Antlers. A small but raucous crowd here with us. Let's hope they all get out on Friday night. We need a lot of support this weekend. We want to encourage the fans again. All tickets are $14. That is set by the WCHA. There's not much we can do about it. There are no comps. There's no freebies. There's no season ticket. You got to buy your tickets and come out and see the Lakers play against a very good Bemidji State team. It should be a great series. The Lakers, still number two in the country in road record this season, 14-4. Diego Cuglietta's moved into a first-place tie in goal scoring with Arizona State's Johnny Walker for the top spot there. And hey, the good news there for Diego and for Laker fans is his goals he scores, if he gets any in the playoffs, count in that battle. And Johnny Walker can't get any because he's not in the playoffs until he gets to the NCAA, and then they don't count anymore. So,
yeah, no, it'd be, obviously a great accolade to be able to win that goal scoring title. And we're certainly, I know everybody listening and in this room is pulling for Diego to get that done, and we could use that. We need our seniors to be our best players here and to get that done. I think one of the Zach Sizek, Coach Sizek brought some up a week or two ago. I think we're, as of maybe last week, we were one of three programs in the country, I believe, to have three 30-point guys. So, again, just shows our depth of scoring up front, and we're losing some key guys, but we have some guys who will be ready to step up and kind of assume those roles and that mantle, down the road here. And, again, we hope that's many weeks away. But, that side of the puck we've been pretty darn good on most of the year, and Diego's a big, big driver of that. But there's some other guys that certainly help him in that role.
Yeah, I'm not sure where Colin Sackleman stands right now. Going into last weekend, he was third in the nation in block shots with 80. I know he blocked six shots Saturday night before he was banished from the hockey game, and that was, I think, late in the second period. So he might have picked up a few more there, and he definitely had a few blocks on Friday night too. So he is number two in the WCHA to Edwin Hookinson, the defenseman from Minnesota State, in block shots. The Lakers' defensive core, by the way, is number one in the nation in goals for shots on goal. They score on 90.094% of their shots. Also, they're number six in the country in goals scored total with 24, and number seven in points with 86. So it's been a great year for the Lakers, and we don't want to see it end here this weekend. We want to move on in the playoffs. The other series that are going on besides number four Lake Superior playing host to number five Bemidji State, it's number one Minnesota State against number eight Alabama Huntsville, number three Bowling Green playing host to Michigan Tech, the sixth seed, and number seven seed Alaska at number two seed Northern Michigan. So let's just hope we can win this weekend, and then we'll see where it all shakes out. And maybe somebody will pull an upset, and maybe two. We'll have two upsets.
Yeah,
maybe Michigan Tech will beat Bowling Green, and Alaska will beat Northern, and we'll play host again the weekend after
that'd
that.
That'd be great, right? And I think going into Northern, we were up in second place all alone. So we were right there, and again, coming from where we were last year, it's been a great team effort, and I'm not sure I remember. No matter what seasons you go through. Going back to my playing days, when fortunate to win a championship in the East Coast Hockey League, but there's always days you didn't want to go to the rink. You know, you were tired, you were hurting, whatever it was. You know, there's obviously the more successful season you have, the fewer days there are. But you know, as a coaching staff, I you know, or for speak for myself, I guess I don't remember one day this year where I didn't want to go in. It's been a tremendous group to work with. One of the snow days that when the university was closed a week or two ago. You know, we couldn't go in. I actually drove in early. The lots weren't plowed, so you couldn't get in. I went back home, and I think Mike and I were texting at 9:30. Our wives were ready to kick us out of the house, and so we were back up on campus, going through the snowbanks, because we just wanted to be there. And John Cooper, the Tampa Bay head coach, I don't know who saw the article in Sports Illustrated a couple of weeks back, but he talked about how as a coach and. You know, you're always preaching culture, and you're trying to build culture, and you know, you have to have that culture inside your coaching staff's office as well, and you know, your whole staff's office, not just coaching staff. So it's been a great group to work with, from our players to our staff, and you know, you can't fake that culture, and it's been awesome to be a part of. And again, there's not a day that goes by that we're not looking forward to get up to the rink and be with the guys and spend time with them and get on the ice and you know, go from there. So we're not ready for it to end, and I think this matchup, you know, if we play to our capability, you know, we can have a lot of success this weekend.
Yeah, this is a good group, and they are hungry to win here on Friday night against Bemidji State. And Bemidji, they're going to be tough. Tom Cerutori is a veteran coach. He knows what he's up against. I'm sure he's watching video just as you are, Damon, and it'll be a battle come Friday night. One of the players who was missing this past weekend, it was Will Rydell. He's got a bit of a lower body injury. I did see him on the ice today. What's the status with him? And not that Alex Amandel didn't fill in. I thought he did a great job. He scored a game-winning goal on Friday night.
Yeah, no, it's a great way to step in. And we kind of talked about that. I don't know if it was Saturday pregame or what it was, but when your number's called, be ready. And what a great job by Alec. It's been a little bit since he's been in to go in there and a goal and assist in the game-winning goal. So he did a tremendous job. And, you know, Will's probably questionable for the weekend at this point. So we'll kind of continue to monitor his progress and where he's at. And, you know, he's a pretty important part of our back end. So we'll just keep an eye and see where that's going there. But, you know, again, we feel like Alec can continue to play at a high level and be you know, good for us if that's the route we go.
Other injuries at this point? Do we have anybody who's banged up at this
Yeah,
point?
I mean, you do this time of year, as we talked about, you always do. There's nothing that's preventing guys from, you know, being out in practice and in full contact. But again, this time of year, it's always, I love watching the NHL playoffs, and, you know, you're questioning why this guy's not playing well and this and that. And then the series ends, and you find out he's playing with a broken whatever or cracked this. And, you know, it's no different for our level. I mean, you know, obviously you want to keep your players safe, but they're all playing through something. And, you know, just like Bemidji, just like anybody else, but, everybody else as of today was good to go, which is a good thing this time of year.
All righty, so we're healthy, other than Will Rydell, who will probably not play this weekend. The recruiting, we always like to talk about that. We get a lot of questions. John Forrest is not with us tonight. He's our expert on recruiting. But he did send a question in this afternoon about one of our future players, the big Swedish player. I think he called him the big Swede. I think Henriksson, Arvid Henriksson is his name. We're going to add another Swede next season. And he's 6'5", about 210 pounds right now. And he has stopped playing in the North American Hockey League because he is what's called aged out. But he has signed his NLI. We can talk about him legally, and he will be in here this fall.
Yeah, we're gonna have two big Swedes along with Hampus Eriksson. You know, Hampus goes 6'5", 6'6", and then Arvid will come in and join him as another big Swede. He's a draft pick of the Montreal Canadiens, coming out of his junior hockey back home, and then he came to the States this year. And you know, one of the challenges when you're dealing with you know, certainly the European players more is you know, they're not up to date on all of our NCAA policies and issues that way. So Arvid has what we call a bad birthday. You know, it affected Gordie Dayfield a couple of years ago. If you turn 21, you're not allowed to play games after your 21st birthday. And because Arvid has a bad birthday, he's done playing now. You can enroll full time and continue to play, but him being a Swede, you know, wasn't on top of the rules and test scores, things like that. So we couldn't get Arvid enrolled in full time, and we just missed it by a hair to get him enrolled and going there. So we were hoping he could continue to play, but he's still stateside as he gets his test score down and things like that, and then he'll head home for the summer and join us in the fall.
Is he a kid who's been in the U.S. for a while now, or is
Just this
he
1 year.
just
Like
this one year?
most of our guys, I think Melvin Carlson is the only guy who never came over and played at least 1 year. Most of them only played 1 year, I want to say. Miro Muka, maybe the exception, as he came to Shattuck as a younger guy and spent a handful of years at Shattuck before his junior hockey. No, he's a big defender. It'll be a little bit in the Steven Ruggiero mold. A little bit different with Steven's. I would say for Steven's size, he's a pretty elite skater. Arvid's going to be a little bit more of that real, matchup defensive defenseman, good first pass. We go to Ferris, his wingspan's going to be able to touch board to board and, defend at a high level. And I think part of what we saw a lot this year, we weren't trying to get big. We talked a lot about this early in the year. We're getting Steven eligible last year after the transfer, Tyler Anderson coming in with that big shot, and but being 6'3", 6'4", Will Rydell having good size, Lucas and Colin both being over 6 foot. It's really tough for teams to generate a lot against us when you're playing those undersized forwards from other teams. So, we like that. And again, we don't want to lose mobility or skill on the back end. You just brought up some stats about how much we get from our back end. And I think in today's game, that's really critical that you get secondary scoring from your defensive core. So we don't want to lose that. And Arvid can still skate well for a 6'5", 6'6" guy. He gets around the ice extremely well. And he's a really good first pass guy. I think probably a little bit underrated for his passing set skill set. But no, he'll be a good addition to the back end next year.
All righty, that's the big Swede we've been talking about here. That'll give us four Swedish players in the lineup next year. We got a really good one, I think, in Nordquist. He's had an outstanding first year and still a really good little player for Lake Superior State. Next year, we've talked about Roberts Blugers coming in up front, Nico Esposito-Selivanov. We got Dustin Manns coming in from the looks of it. You got a couple of defensemen there. You could bring one in if you need to, or you could bring two in if you needed them. And we're still, the school's out on Sackleman, what he's going to do, but Ruggiero's leaving. Other than that, you got Mitch Oliver back. You've got Bennett Vita, there are others too that I'm just not remembering right
Yeah,
offhand.
I think you got most of them. I mean, Samandal's played, but Oliver, who was deemed ineligible this year, and then you mentioned Bennett Vita there. So there's concern when you look at the year that Kybal and Sockerman had. Are they back or not? I won't be surprised if they get some opportunities to move on. And I've watched some of my former recruits. Joel Esperance is up in the NHL regularly right now, out of Tech a forward, but Mitch Ranke's led the AHL in rookie scoring this year. And so these guys are on par with those guys who are up playing right now. And I hope they're back. And I think their intention as of right now, we met 2 or 3 weeks ago on this, and you try to not distract your guys too much in season with some of this stuff. But during our bye week, we talked a little bit about their future plans. And I know they'd like to get back. For Colin, I think it's really important for him and his mom that he graduates and finishes degree here at Lake State in that 4 year window. So love to have him back, but we've seen that the last few years, what happened. And we want to be prepared if that's the case. So we've got I think we like our guys, a talented incoming recruits, and again, a lot of those guys will be in next year. Some of those guys continuing to get some seasoning experience as they mature a little bit with their game, and depending on the opportunities we have open up here.
Yeah, it just seems to me to be a lot better off. Even Colin, he's had a great year. He's a very solid college hockey player, but I'd like to see him come back for that last year just because he'll be that much better and that much more ready to go play at the next level than he would be if he left after this year. So it'll be interesting to see what happens, but there are a lot of work being done. You got to dig a lot of holes and spade a lot of things and plant a lot of seeds in order to. It's tough. You got to try to figure out, okay, who's coming back, who's not. We kind of got caught the 1 year when we lost all the guys. It kind of surprised us, but that's not the case here. I'm really looking forward to seeing young Nico Esposito-Selivanov. I don't know. He's a little guy. I think it'll be interesting just to have Phil Esposito be in the building once in a while.
Yeah, hopefully he can make it around. I know he's still got some duties with Tampa Bay, but most of you here know or that listen a lot, that's their Sioux, Ontario family and a lot of ties up here with Nico, and that certainly helped in the recruiting process for Nico to still have family up here in Sioux, Ontario. But a good little player, and he's going to fit in really well. He's got some real edge to his game, as the Espositos we all know did, the little Italian fire to them there. And he had a 4-point night his first game of the playoffs there a couple nights ago, so he's having a good start there on a team that was rebuilding. They had a coaching change and not a great team this year, but he's playing for Mike Vandekamp, who does a great job out there, and a longtime coach who demands a lot from his players, so he'll be prepared to play there too. So no, we like this class. You know, again, I'm not sure. The expectation isn't for them to step in and be Diego Cuglietta or Gage Terrell or Anthony Nellis. They're going to have time to come under the wings of Humitz and Gelsinger and things like that, as guys like Carlson and Calder, you know, continue to expand their role and grow their role. So it's a much healthier place to be at, to bring your young guys along. You know, we're going to need some of those guys certainly to step in and play big minutes. But we've got a lot of guys right now. You know, Miro Muka has been really, really good lately. Yep. Owen Guy has practiced really well. It's been a long time since he's been able to get in the lineup with the way we've played, and he played a lot early on. So, you know, we've got guys in house. And I think, you know, those guys obviously aren't happy with the opportunity, the role. They want to be playing every night. Believe me, you know, that's a hard spot to be. But as a program, that's where you want to be. You know, when you look at, you heard Mike Babcock for years with the Red Wings talk about, they don't want young guys. They want experience. And that's how you, can build and can win there. So those guys will be ready to take a big step, and we'll need them. There'll be a great opportunity for them.
All right, don't forget this weekend, get on out and support the Lakers Friday, Saturday, if necessary, Sunday. Let's hope we can win too. Boy, it'd be great to win a game on a Saturday night, especially against a real good team like Bemidji State. And it all starts at 7 o'clock on Friday night at Able Arena. Damon, thanks for doing this again. Thanks to the fans for being here. Thanks to Emily back at the station and Mark Santangelo for helping out. That's another edition of the Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400.